This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Indeed Sponsored Jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs.
No one knows what the future holds, but you deserve a weather app that can help. WeatherBug is easy to use and provides forecasts for your every need, from storm warnings to pollen levels, right at your fingertips. Get the fastest local alerts and comprehensive 10-day forecasts wherever you are. It's hyper-local, real-time, customizable alerts. Make sure the weather never takes you by surprise, so you can plan every day with confidence. Download the free WeatherBug app from the App Store today and start getting accurate weather forecasts 24/7.
To test the new Pathfinder, Nissan turned to the boldest creators of all. Kids. Their drawings sparked a wild idea. Brought to life by a Hollywood director, a stunt team, and the SUV that makes the unthinkable unforgettable. No tricks, just V6 power, practical effects, and the rugged new Pathfinder. Watch how it all came together and discover why J.D. Power ranks Nissan number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
This message is brought to you by Cologuard. If you recorded songs off the radio for a mixtape, it might be time to screen for colon cancer. The Cologuard test is non-invasive, requires no special prep or time off, and you start screening right from your home. It's just three simple steps: set up, sample, and ship. If you're 45 or older and at average risk, ask your doctor about the Cologuard test, available by prescription only. Learn more or request a prescription at cologuard.com/podcast.
This is Becca Tilley from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad. It's inevitable. Bachelorette contestants will have breakdowns. Unfortunately, it's just as inevitable that your appliances and your home systems will break down too. But American Home Shield can help. An AHS home warranty can cover appliances and systems, like your AC. If they break down, AHS will fix the covered item. If they can't repair it, they'll replace it. Get 20% off today. Visit ahs.com/scrubbingin to sign up. See ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions.
And we continue here with our American stories. In the shadows of New York City, a rich history lies hidden within the walls of social clubs that once served as the epicenter of the notorious New York City Mafia. These clubs, which have evolved, offer a glimpse into the secretive world of organized crime, providing a fascinating narrative of power, loyalty, and tradition. We'll hear the story right now of a former member of one of the most well-known crime families in New York. Robert Borelli started his life of crime when he was just 14. Here now is Robert Borelli.
Grew up in Brooklyn, New York, from in Rockaway. Childhood was a little rough, you know. It was hard making ends meet. It was a poor neighborhood that I lived in. Mom and Dad worked really hard to try to make ends meet, and it was a challenge for them. So at an early age, I really didn't want to be like my mom or my dad, having the struggles that they had. And a lot of times, some of the arguments that would happen in the home were about, mostly the time, about finances. Not making enough money to pay school bills, rents, and stuff like that. So, and then you had, in the Vietnam War, just people from a little bit older than me coming back into to the neighborhood and drugged out and drinking and in the streets, a lot of them, you know, and didn't want to be like those guys that I looked up to before they went to the war. And then we had the guys in the neighborhood who kind of protected the neighborhood, and they got a lot of respect, and I gravitated more towards that lifestyle. So You know, back in those days, gangs were pretty big, a lot bigger than they are, I believe they are today. Every street corner had a gang, so I was part of the FNR gang, which actually is one of John Gotti's neighborhood gangs. Usually, a lot of the gangs would be named after the street corners that you hung out on. So I hung out on Fulton and Rockaway Avenue. So it was called FNR. Then you had other people that were hung out on Eastern Parkway, Pacific Street, they were called the EP. So that's, we named that gangs a lot of times after the environment that we around or the corners that we hung out in. I wasn't really good with school. You know, I don't know if I was something wrong with me. I know back in them days, they didn't have a lot of testing for stuff like that, but I just didn't do well in school. So I really didn't like school. I didn't really want to go to school. I know I had to go for a certain period of time. But through the course of that, I started gravitating towards those guys in the social club because they seemed to get all the respect. They had the things that I would want for myself in the future, like nice car, clothes, you know, money in your pocket, things that I didn't see my family could afford. And I gravitated towards them and started hanging out with them little, you know, as a young kid, and then playing pool. They allowed me to go in the club and hang out with them. And if they had a card game, I'd serve sandwiches, maybe make a couple of dollars in tips. And I mean, that, I thought that was it. So at an early age, I have to be honest with you, some people wanted to be firemen, policemen. I wanted to be a gangster. I started hanging out in the social club. They're making a couple of dollars here and there, and then little by little, I started hanging out with them a little bit more and more. Matter of fact, I would sneak out of my house at nighttime just to go to one of the clubs and hang out and make a couple of dollars. So at the age of 17 years old, I started hanging out in Queens. And one of the gentlemen that I started hanging out with, who became my friend, his father was one of the big shots in the neighborhood in the Gambino Klein family. So he would start bringing me around, and his father would have these big banquet kind of things. Big, we called them big spreads, and every Friday night. And a lot of the tough guys from the neighborhood would come to this and have a dinner, and he'd be at the one edge of the table. And his son used to bring me with him. I was 17 years old at that point in time. And I was just very impressed with the respect that his dad was getting. But then again, being such a young kid, being around these older guys who seemed to have all the money, I don't know, it just was something, it's hard to really explain what I felt at that time, except I felt very privileged and special to be around that environment at such a young age. You know, they would have card games in the clubs, and, you know, one of the things that these guys were very smart. They didn't want people to get up from the card game because it would slow down the card game. That's how they made their money, by keeping the card game going. So instead of them getting up if they were thirsty or hungry, they would have somebody, if they wanted a drink or something, serve them. So kind of like if you've seen The Sopranos, they showed that a little bit in The Sopranos show. So I would be one of the guys that if they wanted a sandwich, I'd make them a sandwich, bring it to them, they would tip me. Or if they wanted a drink, like Coca-Cola or something like that, they really didn't want anybody getting drunk at the table, so liquor wasn't really there. But that's how it started. And then I would get maybe fireworks. They would give me like a trunk full of fireworks, and I would sell the fireworks, make a couple of dollars there. Run numbers for them, all those little things that started up at a young age. But when I got a little bit older, 17 and then 18 years old, we used to hang out in the bars, and at the age of 18 years, somebody got killed in a bar fight, and I was wanted. Me and another friend of mine was wanted for the murder, and my friend's father hid me and my friend out for about a year and a half before I ended up getting locked up for that case. And because when I got locked up, I kept my mouth shut, did the right thing according to the codes of the street and the mob rules. I was just lifted up, and when I came out, everybody would be parading me around as, you know, an associate of the Gambino crime family. So I accepted the role. When I did finally get locked up a year and a half later, I didn't just get locked up for the murder that I was wanted for, but there was another one tacked on to me, and then also possession of a weapon. One of the cases I really didn't have anything to do with, I was there, but I didn't do any killing. But because I kept my mouth shut and waited for bail and did the right thing according, like I said, the street rules, when I did finally get bailed out, that's when I was paraded around as the up-and-coming star in the Gambino crime family. And I would be meeting all the guys on Mulberry Street where all the big shots hung out, captains and underbosses, and then even be paraded around to other families, because there was five families in New York, and be paraded around with them. And that would be, I don't know, it just really went to my head. And it seemed like a test that I had to keep the reputation that I developed. It was considered an honor. Well, let's just put it this way. You knew the occupation kind of thing, you know? Like a fireman knows he's going to a fire, there's going to be some hazard things that happen. What else it was, you know you're breaking the law, so early you're going to get locked up. The only thing that they used to try to explain to me is make sure the crime is worth the time.
And you've been listening to Robert Borelli tell one heck of a story. His early life, struggles with his parents, listening to them fight over finances, mostly. He's not a school guy, he says, quite frankly. He says, I didn't like school, I was no good at school. And then, of course, he gravitates towards those social clubs, to the guys who get a lot of respect in the neighborhood as he sees it. And in the end, as he put it, some people want to be firemen, some kids want to be policemen. I wanted to be a gangster. At the age of 17, he started hanging out in Queens, becoming friends with one of the dads who had been a bigwig in the Gambino clan. And these were big crime families at the time. Not like today, where organized crime is much more scattered. Rico changed all of that. At the age of 18, someone got killed in a bar fight. He got locked up. He didn't talk. He did his time. He got out, he got promoted, essentially. Locked up again, did his time right, promoted again. At the University of the Mafia, that's how you get your stripes. When we come back, more of Robert Borelli's story here on Our American Stories.
All right, quick quiz for the hiring managers out there. What's worse, being understaffed or being poorly staffed? Well, that's a trick question, because both are recipes for chaos. Either way, just say to yourself, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. You'll get matched with candidates that meet the skills, certifications, and everything else you're looking for. Or go a different way and get no traction. Seriously, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. It really is a no-brainer. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
All right. Two truths and a lie. Here we go. I went to college with college football coach Jim McElwain. I began my broadcasting career doing play-by-play for the Las Vegas Stars, and I've been a Verizon customer for 15 years. Okay, I lied. All three are true. Verizon isn't as expensive as you think. In fact, if you bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to a Verizon store, they'll give you a better deal. That's right, a better deal on the best network with the most ways to save on plans, streaming, and phone deals. So take that AT&T or T-Mobile bill to your local Verizon store today. Get a better deal and start saving. Based on Root Metrics, best overall mobile network performance, U.S. second half 2025. All rights reserved. Must provide recent consumer mobile bill in the name of the person redeeming the deal. Additional terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
No one knows what the future holds, but you deserve a weather app that can help. WeatherBug is easy to use and provides forecasts for your every need, from storm warnings to pollen levels, right at your fingertips. Get the fastest local alerts and comprehensive 10-day forecasts wherever you are. It's hyperlocal, real-time, customizable alerts. Make sure the weather never takes you by surprise so you can plan every day with confidence. Download the free WeatherBug app from the App Store today and start getting accurate weather forecasts 24/7.
Big adventures, family chaos, untethered exploration. The Nissan Pathfinder is built for it. Powered by a lauded V6 engine and smooth 9-speed automatic transmission, the new Nissan Pathfinder is adventure on wheels. With seating for up to 8, a premium interior, and available second-row captain's chairs, it's adventure in comfort. And with 284 horsepower and 6,000 pounds of towing capacity, Pathfinder is adventure unlimited. The new Nissan Pathfinder. Power your adventure. Towing capacity varies by configuration. See Nissan Towing Guide and Owner's Manual for additional information. Always secure cargo.
Hello, hello. I'm Malcolm Gladwell, host of the podcast Smart Talks with IBM. I recently sat down with IBM's chairman and CEO, Arvind Krishna, and I asked him, how can companies use AI to its fullest potential to create smarter business?
My one advice to them, pick areas you can scale. Don't pick the shiny little toys on the side.
Mm-hmm. For example,
if anybody has more than 10% of what they had for customer service 10 years ago, they're already 5 years behind it. If anybody is not using AI to make their developers who write software 30% more productive today, with the goal of being 70% more productive.
Yeah, wow.
So we are not asking our clients to be the first experiment on it. We say, you can leverage what we did. We're happy to bring out all our learnings, including what needs to change in the process, because the biggest change is not technology. It's getting people to accept that there's a different way to do things.
To listen to the full conversation, visit ibm.com/smarttalks.
And we continue with Our American Stories and with Robert Borelli's story. Let's pick up where we last left off.
You know, I got involved with the drug business. Drug business got involved with my business. And that's what's so bad. So it was kind of like maybe a badge of honor in the sense that you got locked up, kept your mouth shut, did the right thing, and then came back out. And you know, then three year party, if you were going away, I've been in and out of prison from 1975 to 1999, in and out. And they throw you a little party before you went to prison. And then when you came out, they kind of tried to take care of you as best they could. Drugs was taboo. You know, everybody else might have been out in the streets getting high or whatever they were doing, smoking pot. But with the guys in the club, that was taboo. They didn't want anybody around them that used drugs. But when I started going to Mulberry Street back in 1975, 1976, it was kind of being accepted that some of the guys we'd hang out in a bar, you know, do a little coke, and kind of became a little bit more acceptable in a sense. But I took it over. I think I was an OCD kind of guy, obsessive compulsive disorder, because no matter what I got involved in, I went to the extremes with, whether it was gambling, drugs, girls, you name it. I just was over the top with a lot of those addictions that I had. Did everything that was asked for me. You know, if anything was asked, I was taught a long time ago, never ask us why, just do what we tell you to do. And that stood with me for a long period of time. So if they asked me to do something, whatever it is that they might have asked, I would just do it, not ask any questions. And of course, you know, they made money on it. I made a couple of dollars on it, so. Yeah, at one point in time, I was an asset for them. But when the drugs started getting, I started getting involved a little bit deeper with the drugs, then I became a problem for them. But for me, I had to be the extremist. In other words, I couldn't be just one of the tough guys. I wanted to be
the biggest tough guy. I wanted to be the most toughest guy in the neighborhood. So my reputation was pretty big for me. So I did whatever it took to hold that reputation. So one of the things I could tell you is I remember John Gotti and them were having a block party for the neighborhood that his club was in. And something had happened a couple of weeks before that there. Somebody got shot up. Didn't get killed, but he got shot up. And of course, I got the blame for that, you know, and John Gotti heard about it. And he had sent his guys to come and meet me, to come and see me, to go and meet him. But I was with a different guy, same family, but a different guy was my go-to guy. And I would tell him that, you know, I can't go there. I wasn't straightened out guy. I couldn't meet him, but if he wanted to see me, he'd have to go see this guy, Nicky, who I was around. So, I mean, that was one of the things how that life operated a little bit. For me, fighting was the way of getting a good reputation. You know, making money was another way of getting a good reputation, throwing your money around. One of the things that I think people knew a lot about me was I didn't value my own life, and people knew that, the way I was living. And therefore, I think a lot of people knew I wasn't going to value their life neither. And I think that's what made me more of a feared guy than anything else. In 1996, I became homeless. I was living in the streets of Atlantic City. So the streets that I used to, I mean, of Atlantic Avenue, the streets that I used to strut so proudly were the streets that I was kind of living off of at that point in time. So the whole year of 1996, I was homeless. So the reputation was gone. I was more of an embarrassment to the people that had a lot of respect for me. And the people that I was around doing a lot of things for in the mafia lost a lot of respect for me. And kind of like a hopeless case. They tried to help me numerous times, but I kept falling back. And crack became the love of my life. To be honest, crack cocaine became the love of my life. So I was to the point that the pinnacle part would be that in 1997, I got arrested by two warrant officers, which I call them today my angels. And the reason why I call them my angels is because that's the last time I had a drink and a drug was when that's the last time I got arrested. And I was arrested for a case in Queens for drugs. And then the FBI was looking for me for a case in Florida when I was living out there back in 95. And I was doing things for the mom back then. That cleaned my act up. The pinnacle part of it was me sitting in jail trying to get money for a good attorney to get me out of the mess that I got myself into. And then also trying to get commissary money because I know I'm not going to get any bail to live as comfortable as I possibly can during my incarceration. And calling up a lot of people, I seen that nobody wanted to come to help me. Nobody wanted to. They actually believed that I was safer in jail than safer out in the streets, and I'm including my own family on this. So I had a sense of complete hopelessness in how I felt. And then my daughter's mom, my daughter was born in 1993, and I walked out of her life to get high and stood out of her life 7 weeks after she came home. And her mother was allowing me to talk to her. And I was calling her on the phone, and she was crying this one time. And I said, "Brianna, why are you crying?" She said, "'Cause she won't come and see me." Now, probably if I could have got high or ran and got medicated myself in any way, shape, and form at that point in time, that's what I would have did. But instead, what happened is my heart just shattered into pieces because I remember so many times that I was in the neighborhood. Whether the mom would have let me see it or not, that's not even the issue was, is that I never even attempted to go see my daughter because I'd rather stay high on crack cocaine than deal with my responsibility of my daughter. And my heart shattered and I ran back to my cell, and I knew about God, but I didn't know God. I was raised Roman Catholic. I'm not saying all Roman Catholics believe what I believe, but I knew about a God, but I didn't know God. And I ran back to my cell and I just gave God an ultimatum. I said, Lord, if you're real, and I didn't even use the word Lord because I didn't understand that either. I said, God, if you're real, either have somebody kill me or change me because I don't want to live with the pain that I'm living like anymore. So I guess it was a cry for help, the despair cry for help. And God answered those prayers, man. I'm here today talking about it.
And you've been listening to Robert Borelli, and what a story he's telling. He talked about the extremes he went to with his addiction, and always, he said, he did what was asked of him by his bosses. But my goodness, the drugs got the best of him. And in the end, as he put it, he didn't value his own life, but he also knew that people who knew that knew he wouldn't value theirs. Crack cocaine in the end would become the love of his life, he said. He was arrested, and this time with no help from anyone and no bona fides to pile up. Even his family thought he'd be safer in prison than out. And that was when he dropped to his knees. So often in life, this happens to so many of us. He drops to his knees and asks God, well, actually, he gives God an ultimatum. If you're real, have someone kill me or change me. And God, as Robert put it, answered his prayers. When we come back, more of Robert Borelli's story here on Our American Stories.
All right, quick quiz for the hiring managers out there. What's worse, being understaffed or being poorly staffed? Well, that's a trick question because both are recipes for chaos. Either way, just say to yourself, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. You'll get matched with candidates that meet the skills, certifications, and everything else you're looking for. Or go a different way and get no traction. Seriously, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. It really is a no-brainer. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
All right, two truths and a lie. Here we go. I went to college with college football coach Jim McElwain. I began my broadcasting career doing play-by-play for the Las Vegas Stars, and I've been a Verizon customer for 15 years. Okay, I lied. All three are true. Verizon isn't as expensive as you think. In fact, if you bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to a Verizon store, they'll give you a better deal. That's right, a better deal on the best network with the most ways to save on plans, streaming, and phone deals. So take that AT&T or T-Mobile bill to your local Verizon store today. Get a better deal. Then start saving. Based on Root Metrics, best overall mobile network performance, U.S. second half 2025. All rights reserved, must provide recent consumer mobile bill in the name of the person redeeming the deal. Additional terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
No one knows what the future holds, but you deserve a weather app that can help. WeatherBug is easy to use and provides forecasts for your every need, from storm warnings to pollen levels, right at your fingertips. Get the fastest local alerts and comprehensive 10-day forecasts wherever you are. It's hyper-local, real-time, customizable alerts. Make sure the weather never takes you by surprise so you can plan every day with confidence. Download the free WeatherBug app from the App Store today and start getting accurate weather forecasts 24/7.
To test the new Pathfinder, Nissan turned to the boldest creators of all. Kids. Their drawings sparked a wild idea. Brought to life by a Hollywood director, a stunt team, and the SUV that makes the unthinkable unforgettable. No tricks, just V6 power, practical effects, and the rugged new Pathfinder. Watch how it all came together and discover why J.D. Power ranks Nissan number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Hello, hello. I'm Malcolm Gladwell, host of Smart Talks with IBM. I recently spoke with IBM's new director of research, Jay Gambetta. We discussed his vision for the future of quantum computing.
At IBM Research, what we always do is answer what is the future of computing, whether it's coming up with new algorithms, coming up with better AI, coming up with quantum, or coming up with just how do different accelerators go together. It's our DNA to answer the question of what is the future.
Isn't it a perfect problem for IBM because you kind of need to have a legacy of building stuff?
Yes.
Building actual physical machines.
Yeah, it's why I came to IBM. I wanted the experience, the culture of building hard things that others have not done before.
Mm-hmm. Where do you imagine we are in the timeline of this technology? There will come a point when it will mature, right?
Yeah.
My cell phone is a mature technology at this point. How far are we from that point with quantum?
By 2029, we'll build the first fault-tolerant quantum computer. That is one that can run a very, very large problem.
To learn how IBM is building the future of computing, visit ibm.com/quantum.
And we continue with Our American Stories and with Robert Borelli's story. We'd ended with him on his knees, praying to God to change his life. He had just said and described that God had answered those prayers. Let's pick up where we left off.
The movie Goodfellas, if you watch, is a kind of accurate movie with people from my neighborhood. Different family, crime family, people from my neighborhood, people who I knew. And Tommy DeSimone is the one that Joe Pesci plays in that movie. Oh, they show him getting killed and having a funeral, but actually, Tommy DeSimone, there was no funeral, never until today, nobody found his body. It was my girlfriend in 1979, but it was Tommy DeSimone's wife from the movie Goodfellas, and he disappeared. He was killed and buried someplace, I don't know where or anything about it, but she became my girlfriend after that there. And it was just a thing, but you know what? A relationship, you can bring out the worst things in two people, and that's kind of the relationship that I had. But I had to get permission from my guy to make sure that what they were telling me, that he wasn't around any longer, because you can't go with somebody's wife in that lifestyle. So I had to make sure that it was accurate, that he was gone, he wasn't coming back, and then I started dating her. But those were all death sentences. If you sleep with somebody's wife, that would be a death sentence. If you kill somebody that was involved with somebody else, another family member or your own family member, without getting permission, you would probably get killed. There was just a lot of, you didn't rat on anybody, you kept your mouth shut, you did your time. The bottom line is, regardless of what was going on when you were doing your time, if people were betraying you, if people were ratting on you, you had to keep your mouth shut and just do your time. That's kind of how I grew up. Now, of course, later on in life, I didn't follow those things because, as you know, I ended up cooperating with the government and was placed in a witness protection program. You know, I was in Rikers Island feeling completely hopeless. And after I cried out to God, the government was going to my mom's house in Florida, always harassing her. Hey, we want to try to talk to your son and all this kind of stuff. So at that point in time, nobody wanted to help me. I felt completely hopeless. I felt I was never going to be Robert the Gambino crime family associate anymore. I lost that reputation through the drug addiction that I had. I've been in and out of prison a lot, and saying I would never touch drugs again, only to find myself back on crack cocaine. And I felt like I was Robert the Crackhead. I was probably going to die Robert the Crackhead. So when my mom told me this, I asked for their phone number, and she gave me the phone number, and I called them up, and I just like to say, they speak a language that I could understand. I believe God used them for where I am today. And they gave me an offer I just didn't refuse. They said, if you cooperate with us, we'll try to change your life, and we'll recommend you going to the Witness Protection Program. Of course, they can't promise you that because they're not, that's the marshals deal with the Witness Protection Program, not the AUSAs, the assistant U.S. attorneys. Anyway, that's the deal, and I took that deal. You know, I was thrown out of the Witness Protection Program, and that's what enabled me to share my testimony about how God has transformed my life. But because before that, there you couldn't tell anybody you were in the program. So that's kind of one of the roots. I mean, getting thrown out and being able to share my testimony. What the government ended up doing for me, I had to do time, and once I got released, they bring you a place, and they kind of, I don't know how they do it, but they give you a, they check you out to see where they're going to send you, where nobody will know you, and, you know, where you might be good or fit in. I don't know how they got all that information, but I say it this way. I feel that God gave me a taste of Abraham when he sent me to a foreign land, because when I finally got my location was San Antonio, Texas. I didn't know how a New Yorker like me with a Brooklyn accent was going to fit into Texas. But that's where I was designated. So what I believe, fear could paralyze you from doing the things that God is asking you to do, the call you have on your life. And think of it this way, in my own mind, to keep me, I guess, I don't know the right word to say, to keep me sane, maybe. If I got killed, I'm going to heaven. And if I don't get killed, then I stay down here and continue doing the work that God's called me to do. While I was in Rikers Island and making all those phone calls, this one girl told me, why don't you read your Bible? I'm asking for help, commissary money, money for an attorney. And I thought it was just a brush off. But after I called out to God and asked him for the help that he gave me, now I wish there was a magic wand that went over me, my whole life changed, but that wasn't the case. But I remember what that girl said, so I started reading the Word of God. Now me, just being who I was and the way I dealt with my jail time, I would get a lot of books and read other books to occupy my time. But I felt something inside of me saying I needed to read more of the Bible, less of those books. And I just started just reading the Bible. I gave all those books away. And then every place that the government started placing me, I was just getting more of God. So the hunger and thirst and desire I had to know more about Jesus Christ, God was fulfilling in ways that I couldn't imagine or even thought of doing myself, because I really had no control once I was locked up. But every place that they were sending me, I was getting more studies, more of the Word of God, baptized in one of the prisons. So it was just a thing, and I just hung on. And still today, still have a greater hunger and a greater thirst for the truth of God. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12, where he says, asking, seeking, and knocking. And these are the things that I hold there. I keep on asking, I keep on seeking, I keep on knocking for the knowledge of God's will in my life. You know, how I see it even more clearly today is, we were always competing against one another. Whether you were in the same gang, and just to clear, the Everard gang was not the Gambino crime, but these were just kids, gang kids. But when an organized crime, the Gambino crime family is an organized crime, it's one of the five families in New York, in the state of New York. You're constantly competing against one another. So one gang had to outdo the other gang. When I was a kid, that's just how it was. We had to be the toughest gang. We had to get our name out there, FNR. Matter of fact, we had a slogan that somebody came up with, FNR on the hill, never ran and never will. from the East, from the West, definitely are still the best. So, I mean, it was very competitive. And I seen that there in when I came out of prison. And I seen that a lot of Christians are competing against one another. A lot of churches are competing against one. And then one of my pastors said, I wish we would stop competing against one another and start completing one another. But that's what I see. Like in the Gambino Crime family, we have plenty of clubs. We all part of the Gambino Crime family. And we all try to outdo one another, even though we were part of the same family. And I see that in the Christian churches today. So I've been involved with ministry. I came out in 1999 is when I came out of prison. And I did nursing home ministry for 13 years. In San Antonio and then in Dallas when I moved out to Dallas. I just want to complete somebody that's trying to seek God and work with people instead of trying to outdo them.
And a terrific job by the production, editing, and storytelling by our own Russ Jones and Micah Touche. And a special thanks to Robert Pirelli. His book, The Witness, A Tale of the Life and Death of a Mafia Madman, is available on Amazon or all the usual suspects. After he cried out to God, he turned state's evidence. The government gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. He went to witness protection. What would a guy in Brooklyn, New York, do in San Antonio? He was paralyzed, he said, by fear. And fear will paralyze any man from his call from God and God's call on your life. And he was sounding at that point in the interview, in this story, like a first-class and world-class theologian. And now, what is he doing? Ministering to folks. Ministering to them, healing them, helping them. From crime to compassion. From the Godfather to the King of Kings. The story of Robert Pirelli, here on Our American Stories.
No one knows what the future holds, but you deserve a weather app that can help. WeatherBug is easy to use and provides forecasts for your every need, from storm warnings to pollen levels, right at your fingertips. Get the fastest local alerts and comprehensive 10-day forecasts wherever you are. It's hyper-local, real-time, customizable alerts. Make sure the weather never takes you by surprise so you can plan every day with confidence. Download the free WeatherBug app from the App Store today and start getting accurate weather forecasts 24/7.
This is Julian Edelman from Games with Names. I want to take a second to talk about something that's personal to me. I've had the privilege of working closely with Robert Kraft for a long time, and one thing I've always respected is how seriously he takes up standing up to hate. As a Jewish athlete, my identity is something I am proud of, but I also know what it feels like to be singled out for it. That's why this new commercial for the Blue Square Alliance Against Hate that aired during the big game really hit home. It's about showing up for someone when they're targeted, even if you don't have the perfect words. And sometimes standing next to someone is enough. And you can show support by sharing the Blue Square.
Big adventures, family chaos, untethered exploration. The Nissan Pathfinder is built for it. Powered by a lauded V6 engine and smooth 9-speed automatic transmission, the new Nissan Pathfinder is adventure on wheels. With seating for up to 8, a premium interior, and available second-row captain's chairs, it's adventure in comfort. And with 284 horsepower and 6,000 pounds of towing capacity, Pathfinder is adventure unlimited. The new Nissan Pathfinder. Power your adventure. Towing capacity varies by configuration. See Nissan Towing Guide and Owner's Manual for additional information. Always secure cargo.
Should it stay or should it go? What if I mess it up? What if I have to pay taxes now?
If you're unsure about an old 401k, it's okay. Fidelity can help you understand your options, avoid mistakes and taxes, and feel good about your decisions for your retirement savings. To learn more, visit fidelity.com/rollover. Be sure to consider all your available options and the applicable fees and features of each before moving your retirement assets. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This message is brought to you by Cologuard. If you recorded songs off the radio for a mixtape, it might be time to screen for colon cancer. The Cologuard test is non-invasive, requires no special prep or time off, and you start screening right from your home. It's just 3 simple steps: setup, sample, and ship. If you're 45 or older and at average risk, ask your doctor about the Cologuard test. Available by prescription only. Learn more or request a prescription at Cologuard.com/podcast.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.